Welcome to Beyond the Show with Menace to Sports, our Patreon exclusive call-in show. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take as many calls as we can, answer as many questions as we can, and make this an open conversation and platform for our subscribers and supporters to interact with me, interact with our show, and get questions answered. I love the question and answer stuff we did before, but I wanted to bring you guys on and give you an opportunity to come on the show and have a conversation, if not ask a question. So what we're going to do is we're going to put out this show, which should be around 40 minutes long, a bunch of great questions. We're going to put out a teaser. So part of this is going to be a half the episode for the public to listen to what is coming every week for our Patreon subscribers. So make sure you check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ Menace to Society Podcast. And as we say, let's get to the show.
All right, thumbs up.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
I'm just wondering if it's natural talent or if you guys practice fumbling all the f***ing time, you stupid piece of
s***. Am I ready for what? Who's this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam?
I love what you've done to open up the offense to give the Titan an identity as a passing team. And I was wondering what Nick Saban's oatmeal cream pies taste like when he them in your mouth, you coward war eagle, you pussy.
I'm watching you.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena.
Menace to Society.
Beyond the Show.
God damn it, Leroy.
All right, well, we're going to get this thing started real quick. Not a lot to talk about, not a lot of stuff to discuss. So what we're going to do is, and the way to get on the show, you just DM us. And every week we're going to do this, trying to figure out which day's, you know, the best day for everyone. So we're going to have you just DM us on Patreon, shoot us your number, maybe you can shoot us your question or just shoot from the hip when you call. When we call and link up. So we'll get you on and just need to plan out time so that we don't have people waiting and people hung up. So we're going to try to make this efficient, make it great content, great listening, something to listen to gain a little perspective and really get the questions answered that you want answered. So let's go to the phone lines. All right. Our first caller today is going to be Paul from the great state of Georgia. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, how's it going, Zach? Good to Yeah. Good to connect with you again.
Yeah, man, it's good to talk to you. When I saw your name pop up, I was like, oh shit, I know him.
Well, you know, I was at Dwyer High School, and when you were recruiting Johnny Dixon, and that's kind of how we connected. So
that was a great Jack,
time for all of us.
Jack Daniels, the great,
yeah, no doubt.
Legend.
Jack's drinking beer and fishing now. He's not coaching it down.
God bless him. That's what I need to be doing.
No question. Well, no question.
What do you got for me, Paul?
Hey, I know with your experience, you had been at Florida and then, went to Marshall and then Ohio State and things like that. So I thought maybe if you could just kind of explain, you know, how the offer process was different for you at Ohio State versus, you know, when you were at Marshall. You know, I spent a little bit of time at University of Wisconsin. So, but just, you know, did you wait more on kids at Ohio State or did you wait more on kids at Marshall or did you, you know, what was that like and how different was it?
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Offering kids from one place to another.
Yeah, so it's very different. Obviously, you're at Ohio State, and even at Wisconsin to an extent. I mean, you're going for the best of the best, so it's not hard to identify the top tier. I mean, you're really trying to find them as a young kid, so you can get them an early offer, so maybe you can jump in the lead. And then, I mean, there is instances certainly of great evaluation, but you know, at Ohio State, there's maybe, I don't know, six or seven schools that if they offered before you, now you might be behind a little bit. But other than that, if you throw an offer out, even Wisconsin, for the most part, you're going to beat Wisconsin even if you offer late. You obviously know
listen,
that first thing.
I lived that life.
Yeah, and it's just the reality of it. I mean, outside of a Wisconsin kid or maybe a specific, like an O-lineman or someone that just really, or even a running back. I mean, Wisconsin's done a good job with running backs, but we even took, what was the kid's name that ended up in North Carolina, was committed to Wisconsin, Antonio Williams.
Yep.
He was committed to Wisconsin forever, and we jumped in late, offered him, and we got him, you know?
Yep.
So Ohio State was very different. It was much more about the recruiting game, the recruiting aspect, and offers were just a tool to get in the game, stay in the game, and try to get a kid. When you're at Marshall or Temple or somewhere like that, you're really trying to identify maybe under-the-radar guys, the guys, diamonds in the rough. I had a bunch of them in my career. And that's who you're trying to find. And then outside of those guys, you're trying to wait and see who the bigger schools are going to kind of let slip or going to fall off their radars that you can scoop up towards the end. And you might not offer a kid till a week or two before signing day because his scholarship to Wisconsin didn't pan out, or his scholarship to Maryland didn't go through. And now you're at Marshall saying, all right, we can get this kid. And now your recruiting really starts. So it's a much different game for sure.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I thought for the listeners, that'd be cool, for them, you know, just kind of hear. I got one more thing for you. I want your best Earl Bruce family story and then your best Earl Bruce football story.
So my best family story was probably, I had gotten in trouble in high school. I think it was something stupid. Like I was at a party that alcohol was there. And, so you would think my grandfather, being as tough on people as he was, he was just going to just destroy me. And he came in and was very different. And he was very, like, I don't want to say understanding, but he could tell that I was just destroyed, that I let people down, and I was in that situation. And he was very, like, compassionate. And I walked out of there like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. And then fast forward 6 months later, I had just bought my first car, and it had temporary tags on it. And they expired. And I went over to his house. He went out to check the mail, and he came in and saw that my tags were expired. He fucking unloaded on me, like just annihilated me. And I mean, and I walked out like, holy shit, I got in real trouble. And he kind of was compassionate. And then I didn't really do shit, and he just destroyed me. And that was what I lived with, is it was kind of always like, oh boy, who are you going to get? How's this going to go? You know?
That's awesome.
Oh, it was something else. And probably my favorite, you know, I was so young when he was a head coach. My favorite football story is actually going to be an arena football story. He coached a couple different teams in the Arena League. One team was the St. Louis Stampede. And I went to visit him. And obviously this is very different than Ohio State. So I'm on the bench, like what amounts to like a hockey bench, you know, with a little like indoor soccer where you're in the little box.
Right.
And so I'm in there, and it's towards the end of the game, and his team's about to win. The game's about over, and a fight breaks out. I'm talking bench clearing, like a hockey brawl. I'm like probably 15 at the time, and both benches clear. They're brawling. I look over, and there's this dude who plays like DB or receiver for my grandfather's team. He's sitting there with his, like, sitting on his hands in the box, the only player there. I'm like looking at him like, what are you doing? He was like, hey buddy, I'm on probation. I ain't going out there. I'll be in jail. I was like, oh shit. I didn't think, like, boy, it's a different world, arena football. That's for sure.
That is awesome.
Oh, so those that's what I got for you. Those are my best stories.
That's fantastic. Those are two great ones. And, I know your grandfather's proud of how you reinvented yourself, and I'm proud to call you a friend and proud to be a Patreon subscriber here.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's good to connect, Paul. We need to catch up off air.
No doubt. Let's do that.
All right, cool. I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks.
Okay, bud. Thanks.
Yep. All right, we're back. Menace to Sports, Beyond the Show, Patreon exclusive call-in show, and we want to welcome Nick from Dayton. Nick, thank you for calling in.
Absolutely, Zach. It's great to hear from you. Really like your stuff.
I appreciate it, man. So what do you got for me? What kind of question?
Well, what I got for you is Ohio State obviously lost some really good players. Who do you think will be the hardest to replace, Jeff Okuda or Chase Young?
Well, that's a tough question, because I think obviously both are crazy talented, crazy impact players, both going to be high draft picks, top 10 picks. So I don't think you replace either. So I think the real answer to the question is what position group can kind of absorb the loss of production, right? And in reality, the defensive end, and you saw it as Chase Young really, I mean, didn't have as much of an impact down the stretch of the season. A defensive end, you can replace production with blitz packages and with depth. And so I think Jeff Okuda is probably going to be the tougher one to replace, both with the talent at D-line for Ohio State and also just the impact of the individual position. I mean, Jeff Okuda was a guy that could take a receiver out of the game completely. And we saw that from time to time this year. And not that Chase wasn't as impactful, but I think guys like Zach Harrison, Tyler Friday, Tyreek Smith, and then the interior guys that are coming back, the emergence of the young kids like Teron Vincent, Tommy Togiai, Haskell Garrett, and then not to mention the linebackers, so like Baron Brownings of the world, they can still get pressure. Though I think the secondary will be strong. I think Jeff Okuda will be felt more.
For sure. That makes a lot of sense. I'm just really excited to see where they go. I mean, I know you dropped that bomb of Kerry Combs coming back, so excited to see what that'll look like.
Well, he's the master developer, so if anybody will get a corner ready to play, it'll be him. As long as the Titans don't win the Super Bowl and he gets some crazy other job, he should be back in Buckeye Nation for sure. But I appreciate you calling in, Nick.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. Okay, so we all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But I didn't know this until recently, and it's taken my TV watching game to the next level. You can use a VPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Over the weekend, I used ExpressVPN to binge watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Australian Netflix. It was so simple, I just fired up the ExpressVPN app, changed my location to Australia, refreshed Netflix, and that was it. See, ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. Do you love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. And it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen, wherever you are. If you visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/menace, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/menace. You won't regret it. All right, up next on Menace to Sports, Beyond the Show, we have Jeff from Jacksonville. Jeff, thank you for calling in.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what kind of question you got for me today, Jeff?
So looking to next year, I know we lose 3 out of 4 starting DBs, and I know we're placing Chase on the front. How good do you think the defense could be next year if probably the worst-kept secret of Kerry Combs coming back is actually true?
Well, I think that's going to be a huge hire because you're going to replace two corners, and I know the big talk is Sean Wade moving outside, which will certainly make it a lot easier, but you're going to need someone that can develop guys, and none better than Kerry Combs if you just look at his track record and history. So I think it's really going to come down to what they can do in the secondary. I mean, that's obviously the biggest unknown. I think the D-line is deep enough, and they will do enough on defense to absorb the loss of Chase Young. We actually just talked about that a little bit ago in one of the callers. And so it's going to be interesting. I think Kerry coming back will be a big, big deal. But I really like the young kids they're going to have. Obviously, Sean Wade. But then you have guys like Cameron Brown, who played a bunch this year. I think he's got to have a great offseason. And then you look at guys like Josh Proctor, who I'm most excited about, to kind of take that predator role in the secondary, almost Malik Hooker-ish. And then it's really going to come down to who's that fourth or potentially fifth guy they're going to play. Is it Marcus Hooker? Does he have a great offseason? Seven Banks, how's he going to develop this offseason? And then are any of these young guys going to come in and show that they're ready to play right away? I mean, I think the linebacker position should be pretty solid. I think the D-line, obviously, with Larry Johnson is going to be outstanding always. And so I think they got a chance to really have the same consistency on defense that we haven't seen until this year, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to start. Do you think we stick with that three corner, one high safety, or do we think we go back to normal two high, two corner?
No, I think that one high defense is really here to stay. I think that's what Ryan Day really wants. That's why he brought in Jeff Hafley, and I think it's going to stay consistent. And Greg Madison has been around every type of defense imaginable, as has Kerry Combs, and Kerry Combs is going to bring a lot of NFL experience in the whatever year or two he's been with the Titans to really, I guess, implement some things that they're doing at that level that we might be able to do at Ohio State. So it's going to be cool to see how the scheme, and I'll tell you this, the one thing they will do is they're going to make whatever personnel they have work for them on defense. So whatever their personnel does best, they're going to do. If it's press man, it's press man. If it's off and one high zone, then it's one high zone. I think it's what Ryan wants to do, and I think it's what we're going to watch this coming fall for sure.
Yeah, I'm also trying to wonder if Taraja Mitchell is going to take that starting spot from Tuff. I know he didn't do it this year. And I know Tuff's probably going to be a senior this year, but it's going to be an interesting battle for that middle linebacker.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think there's going to be a lot of question marks on who's going to play where in that linebacker core, because you have guys like Kayvon Pope, who's young and athletic. Taraja, obviously, who I talked about preseason, is one of the best linebackers they had. I think he just needs to mature a little bit and get on the field. And then you have the guys like Baron Browning, Justin Hilliard, I mean, Pete Warner. You got a bunch of guys to surround Tuff in that competition. So it'll be interesting to see how they play him and where they play him and how they protect them, protect their weaknesses, you know?
Yep. And switching to offense, who besides, you know, maybe the obvious ones, like maybe like a Jackson Smith and Jigbo or a Julian Fleming, who do you see having a breakout year, like a Jameson Williams, maybe a Cameron Babb if he's healthy?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unknown outside of Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson at the receiver position, just losing those three talented guys that had a lot of production. And I think, you know, the incoming freshman is a wild unknown, because guys that come in early, it's an unknown. You're talking about a huge jump in what they're expected to do, what they're asked to do just as a college athlete, let alone to perform on a different level than they've ever performed on. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how those young guys come in. And I think Jameson Williams is a guy that should have a big offseason. He's got to develop physically, develop mentally, but he has a skill set that is really unmatched in that room. Just his speed and his long strides. It's almost Ted Ginn Jr.-esque, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see. What I'm really excited to see is, or not excited to see, I'm anxious to see what Jalen Gill does. Does he hang around? Does he go try to compete to take that slot position? Or does he, you know, feel like maybe it's not going to work out at Ohio State? Does he transfer, or does it, you know, does one of those young guys take that spot?
Yeah, and then I know there's talks of maybe Kevin Wilson helping with the play calling. Do you think that would, if that does happen, do you think we could possibly see more of Jeremy Rucker? Does he split out kind of like a Jimmy Graham, or do we, like, I'm assuming we want to get more of the tight ends involved.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, though I think they played just above average this year, you have Luke Farrell and Jeremy Rucker coming back with a full offseason to improve and enhance their game. And I think it's going to be tough to keep them off the field. And 12 personnel, two tight ends is so dynamic for an offense in the run game. And to have two guys that are athletic and big and long that can make plays in the pass game, I think you're going to see a lot more two tights. You know, but at the end of the day, I think Ryan's going to put the best 11 on the field. So if that is a young kid that is dynamic, it might be 11. It might be one tight. And if that is Jeremy Rucker as the second tight end, then it is. So I think they're going to have a lot of flexibility and a lot of talent to figure out how they want to employ them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm assuming everyone's expecting Master Teague to be the starting running back. And I know, being from Texas, I saw Marcus Crowley play a couple games in high school, and I have one play. It's on my phone somewhere. But he ran over one dude. Then as he's going to the sideline, he stiffed on another. He's the one I'm really excited about. If he can stay healthy and take that next step, I think he can be great at Ohio State.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't see a nationally elite running back right now at Ohio State. I just don't. I love Master. I love how he runs. He's very physical, but I don't think he's Jonathan Taylor. I don't think he's JK. I don't think he's to that level yet. But obviously, off seasons are when those type of players are created and developed. So it'll be interesting to see. That's probably the biggest question mark on offense for me is the run game. Who's going to be that every down back that's going to be a nationally elite guy?
Yeah, and going along that lines, I know I read that Jared Gibbs is visiting this weekend, but kind of recruiting. I don't know if you've been following this really bizarre Zach Evans saga. Would you take a flyer on him at all, or are you just kind of, you're out after all the things you've heard?
Yeah, I don't know. Just I'm not inside on the situation. I know Tony Alford and Ryan Day and really the staff, they will unturn every stone, and before they make a calculated risk or decision, they're going to make sure that it's one that at least has a decent chance of paying off and certainly won't hurt their situation. So I don't know much about him or the situation, but they need a great player. So if they can find one that they feel like is going to pan out, I think they take a flyer on it and take a risk.
Yeah. I was hearing stories where he punched a coach, wouldn't give up his phone during a meeting. He got sent home from the state championship game. But one of my friends, he wanted me to ask this. He wants to know, like, do you still have a relationship with Ryan? Do you guys ever talk, or is there anything between you and Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, he's still a friend of mine. I mean, I've seen him a couple times. We always talk. It's certainly not something that him and I are in contact frequently with the situation, but he's still a friend of mine. And if I run into him or when I see him, you know, it's very friendly. We have a great conversation. He's a great dude.
And my final question. I know we're finally getting the idiot President Drake out. Me and my friends are kind of going back and forth today in our little Buckeye chat. I said I think we should bring in Jim Tressel. My one friend says that he doesn't think we will because the school might be scared of, you know, what the NCAA might think. He said maybe give it to Urban. I said, or do we bring back Gordon Gee? Is there anybody else out there that you think we could be going after?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jim Tressel's a great option. That's who I think they should hire. I don't think they will. I think Gordon Gee is one of the best presidents in Ohio State history, if not the best. But I don't think they'll do that for a third time. The guy that I hear a lot about is John Kasich. I mean, I think a lot of people think he's the guy. And I guess we'll see. I know Ohio State is not They make decisions out of fear a lot, which is why Gordon Gee's gone, why Jim Tressel probably won't get a serious consideration. But we'll see, I guess. John Kasich's the name I'm hearing, and Jim Tressel's the guy I think it should be. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to go maybe the political route, could you see maybe Anthony Gonzalez coming back and taking that? Maybe he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, no, I think he's down the political route. I think he's going to attack the White House one day. So I don't see him coming to be a university president right now, but I guess you never know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Zach.
Yeah, no, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Up next caller on Menace of Sports Beyond the Show. We have Joe from Warren, Ohio. Joe, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Doing really well, man. Really enjoying the conversations I've been having with some of the callers, and really just excited to have more interaction and do this kind of Patreon exclusive show. It's going to be really fun. So what do you got for me, Joe? Give me a question. Shoot it at me.
All right. So, you know, I graduated high school in 2018 and I played football all throughout. People would always ask me who the best player I ever played against was. My answer is always Lynn Bowden, who was at Kentucky. He's about to go to the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I played against him twice. You know, never seen anything like that ever. And I just want to know, how does, you know, somebody like that sort of fly under the radar a little bit and then wind up at a place like Kentucky rather than like the Ohio States of the world?
Yeah, you know what? It's really it's different for every kid. And I was at Ohio State when Lynn was in high school, and I had him in camp. I actually loved his tape, loved him as a player, loved everything about him. There was a number of kind of red flags about him off the field that kind of made us wary. Nothing major, not a bad kid or anything, but just things that we didn't know if it would be a good fit for our program and our team. But his talent level was certainly there. I thought he was a phenomenal player, and I loved him. He just wasn't a great fit for us, to be honest with you.
Right, and that's sort of what I've been hearing from around you, people who I've talked to that sort of knew him, you know, a lot better than I did. I've never met him outside of, you know, shaking hands after, but, you know, I'd always heard that character concerns were sort of, you know, his thing. But, you know, as far as I know from people that I've talked to, he's you know, really got it turned around, is doing great now.
Yeah, which I mean, that's part of it. And it, like I said, there was nothing, it wasn't a bad kid. It was nothing like a major. It was just when you're recruiting at Ohio State, you do a really thorough job of contacting coaches, contacting people in the area, and really trying to get a good feel on everything about a kid. And at Ohio State, it's hard to take a risk on somebody that is going to have to kind of change and conform. Whereas at Kentucky, that's the kid you want. You want to take that kid that you think is going to become, you know, going to really transform his life and fit the culture and be able to display his talents. And that's what Kentucky did. And kudos to them, because they take a risk on guys like that. And it paid off with him. And he definitely had the talent, though. It was never a talent issue. He was good enough to play anywhere.
Yeah, well, watching him this year, you know, everything before that came as, you know, zero surprise to me, yeah, having seen him.
For sure. But he's a great one, though. He a great talent, and he was certainly on our radar, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine. I mean, his high school tape's probably the best that I've seen, at least from,
yeah, it was really
guys from around here.
Well, really good. Really good. Really good, man. Well, I appreciate the call in and appreciate the question.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. I love the show.
All right, thank you, man. Thank you. Make sure you check back in next week. Got another question? Hit us up, all right?
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Joe. You know, that's the one thing about these big time programs, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, really the top flight programs, is there could be a kid that, and I'm not saying, speaking of Lynn Bowden, he certainly didn't have any major character issues or major drug issues or anything like that. It was just, there were some red flags, and he was kind of a raw talent, and it was just a guy that we weren't going to take a risk on him not being as good as we thought he might be able to be, or him might end up being a red flag, you know, whatever be an issue off the field. And that was really just based on just things that we heard, things that were going around, and that's what you take a risk. So to anyone listening that has high school age kids or has recruits, just know it's as simple as, it could be a social media post. It could be just being an asshole to someone, bullying someone, which, again, I'm not saying that kid did that, but it could be the smallest thing in the world that gets you dinged by a big-time program. And not that Kentucky's bad, but instead of playing at Ohio State and going to the playoffs, you may be playing at Kentucky, or you may be playing at a smaller school or not the school you want to go to. So it's a kind of a challenge and really an eye opener that regardless of how good you are, if you have certain issues, certain red flags, certain people might, maybe that just don't rave about you, there might be a guy that's getting glowing reviews and is, you know, everyone in the area and his coaches and everyone around him saying this kid is like the Michael Jordan of high school football. And if that is the review on one kid and the next kid is maybe just, he's okay or above average, the Michael Jordan-esque kid is coming to, is getting the offer and he's getting pursued harder. So it's really a testament to how you are off the field, not just how you are on your highlight tape or on the football field. But that was a good start. I wanted to really just get one under the belt so everyone, all of our subscribers and supporters could take a listen and hear where we're going with this platform. And I really think it's going to get better and better and better as we get more engagement, more interaction. We had to cut it at those questions. We had a couple more that we're going to save for next week. Because we want to keep these, you know, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, right around there, unless it takes off and people love it. So make sure you drop us some feedback. It could be on Patreon. Really, if you want to do it on social media, so we can retweet it and get people to know what we got behind the scenes. But we appreciate the support. We appreciate you listening, and we will catch you next week on Menace to Sports Beyond the Show. Thank you for listening.
All right, thumbs up.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Dragon!
Just wondering if it's natural talent or if you guys practice fumbling all the f***ing time, you stupid piece of
s***. Am I ready for what? Who's this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam?
I love what you've done to open up the offense and give the Titan identity as a passing team. And I was wondering what Nick Saban's oatmeal cream pies taste like when he f***s them in your mouth. Coward, war eagle, you pussy.
I'm watching you.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena.
Menace to society.
Beyond the show.
God damn it, Leroy.